Sunday Evangelium with Father Marcus Holden on the baptism of Jesus.
Today's feast of the baptism of Jesus helps us to focus on the meaning of our own baptism. When I was growing up, no one taught me the true meaning of baptism. Being born in the 70s, I'm really a child of the 80s, and it meant that I didn't receive, as so many of that age didn't receive, a sound, clear catechesis. My knowledge of baptism was that it was little more than a naming ceremony, at best a symbolic ritual for someone entering into the church, the family of God. While baptism has both these meanings, they are peripheral to the core and essence of this awesome sacrament. I had to relearn the truth about baptism. So what goes on in the font in all our churches? What is the meaning of baptism? When Jesus came into this world, he achieved by his whole life, but above all by his passion, death, and resurrection, the salvation of the world. He won the human race back for God. He achieved mercy for us so that our sins might be forgiven. And he made it possible for us to become God's children once again, which was God's original plan for humanity. Not just creatures of God, but really his children, sharing the perfect life of God immortally. While Christ gained that for us, its application has to be applied individually to each one of us in time and space. It's like imagining an infinite reservoir of grace and mercy won for us that only needs to be channeled so that each of us can receive it. So Christ objectively saved us, but how do we individually gain from this? This is where the church comes in. There are many ways and many channels, but the first and primary one is baptism, and then the other sacraments, the sacramentals, and so on. Baptism is the great channel of God's forgiveness and God's treasures for us. In baptism, we get into Christ and we cash in on what he has lovingly achieved for us. And it is the same with all the sacraments and with prayer. These are all channels for that grace. But baptism comes first. It's the crucial one for salvation. None of the others can follow if baptism is not present. Of course, God could bestow his gifts in other ways, and he may in extraordinary circumstances, as in the case of the catechumen who dies prematurely, or the holy innocents who die in place of Christ. But he has set up baptism as the way in. We have no other way in which to follow him. This is what Jesus taught his disciples to do. This is the example he gave on this feast. And this is what the church has done through the ages. So what happens? The priest pours water over the head and says, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The water pouring symbolizes two things, washing and new life. But it doesn't just remain a mere symbol. It brings about precisely what it symbolizes, just as all the sacraments do. The washing is really a washing away of sins, truly. All sins, original and any personal sin. Through baptism, they're gone. It's a clean sweep. The new life is the new life of God, the human being literally raised to share the life of God, the life that comes through the resurrection. The human person receives an adoption, not a legal one, but a real one, that puts the very being of that person into a true relationship with God, sharing in his divine life, the divine life of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is exactly why Jesus taught us to baptize in the name, the singular name of God, who is three persons. Yes, because this washing and new life is not a naming ceremony, but it represents a birthing into that family. When parents come for the baptism of their children, as many of you have experienced, the priest tries to impress upon the parents the momentous nature of the baptism, what it really means. What we witness in baptism is something greater than all the wonders of the natural world. Think of the wonders that human beings have made. But here we have a transformation of a limited, finite human creature into a real child of God. An infinite gift, eternal life, thrown in as part of the inheritance. Does this resonate with us? Does it warm our hearts? If the knowledge that we are the children of God and that we have the inheritance of heaven does not give us any spiritual joy or hope, then what's happened to our souls, to our spiritual lives? If this reality is not the bedrock of our existence, then what has replaced it? Perhaps sin has crept in somewhere. Sin is the only thing in the world that can rob us of our inheritance, that can disinherit us, that can take that robe of baptismal grace from us. Not any sin, but mortal sin. Sin which kills the life of the soul. Sin is a breaking of our bond with God. When we know something is gravely wrong and we deliberately do it, our relationship is ruptured. Our loving relationship with God, the most important thing in the world. We remain God's children, but we've become rebellious children, runaway children. The certain only way to mend that relationship is confession, which is closely related to baptism. It's there to restore us to that original grace. I need to say at this point, as a matter of loving duty, as a priest, that it troubles the priest when people miss Mass deliberately on a Sunday or a holy day of obligation and forget that this constitutes a serious sin, a rupture of our relationship with God, a throwing aside of his commandments in a grave matter. I say that not as an opinion, not as some teaching from the past, but with the church today and the teaching of 2,000 years. These small acts of union with God, 1 hour a week, Holy Communion, are like an essential minimum for keeping our souls alive. If we have sinned mortally, then we need to go to confession. We don't need to be rebaptized. We remain the children of God. What we need is reconciliation, the mending of the bond. John the Baptist knew the power of the baptism that Jesus would bring. We hear him say that he baptized with water, but the one who will come after him will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is there to prepare the way for that. It's almost like a pre-run, a preparation for the real thing that will come next. It's like those astronauts who go into flight simulators before they really take off. John says as much of himself. He is not even fit to undo the sandal straps of the one who will come to baptize. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, of preparation. Jesus' baptism is one of power and spiritual effect. Jesus went to John to be baptized not because he in any way needed baptism. The sinless Son of God needed no forgiveness of sins nor new life. He goes to John to reveal himself to the world and to John, and to show that he has fully entered into our world, he shows us also how we must follow. One of the duties that comes with baptism is the duty of mission. Because we have been given so much, we're expected to help others to benefit too. This is what God desires, and this is what we're called to. Freely you have received, freely give. To enable us to fulfill our baptismal calling, to proclaim and spread the faith, we, each of us in our parishes, need a sense of mission. These wonders of baptism, and indeed the entire faith and life that we treasure, must be shared. Pope Benedict said recently, "I would like the whole church to breathe the atmosphere of epiphany, of genuine missionary commitment, aroused by the manifestation of Christ, light of the world, sent by God the Father to reconcile and unify humanity with the force of love." Let's start thinking about how we can put this into practice. to share our faith, how we can pass it on. Let's allow the Holy Spirit to work through us to fan into flame that gift that we received in baptism, which will transform us, those around us, our homes, our families, our workplaces, our society. Send forth thy Spirit, O Lord, and renew the face of the earth.